16. Now, let me just say a few words first. That this whole idea of being in a kingdom, you are citizens of that kingdom. I know you might be a citizen of the United States or some other country, but if you're born again, you have a primary citizenship, which is in heaven. When I say heaven, I mean in the government of God. And then if you come into a situation where there is a contradiction between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world, which one do you think you go with?
Kingdom of God.
Okay. When there comes a contradiction between what the Bible says and what some professional says, which one do you go with? What the Bible says. Now, I'm saying that because you're under this kingdom. This is your priority. Now, the Bible talks about you're citizens of the kingdom, but it also talks about you and I have been taken out of darkness into the marvelous light. Colossians chapter 1, where he says here in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Saints in light. Who has delivered us from the power of what? Darkness into the, and translated us into the kingdom of his dear what? Son. His son is the light of the world. So we've been transferred out of one kingdom into another. Now, in that, this kingdom of darkness rules in this earth, and it rules from the temporal level. I mean, Satan has his headquarters, I know, in the spiritual realm, but it rules from the temporal level. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that this world is based on information gathered by the senses, the eye, the ear, the nose, so forth and so on. But over here in the kingdom of light, the information is directly from God into our spirits. So this whole idea of the kingdom was something that Jesus preached because it was a different reality. And in this dispensation, it's invisible, but it has visible manifestations because it's so powerful. And so we talked about that in terms of this kingdom. Now, the other thing is that we went to Mark 11. Let's go over there, please. And over in Mark 11, by the way, the Bible is really the only book that really talks about life after death and what goes on. Mark chapter 11. All right, let's start reading at verse 12. And in the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, talking about Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, it found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now notice he talked to the tree. Then he went on in Jerusalem and turned over the tables and so forth and so on. In verse 17 he mentions, and he taught saying, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer? But you've made it a den of thieves. And come on down to verse 19. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter calling to remembrance, he said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now another way of saying that is what? Have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have what? Whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you what? Receive them, and you shall have them. All right, now this is where we venture out. Now realize what God is doing now, and this is what this is all about that I'm talking to you about right now, is that God is sending you into Canaan. It's where you're going. You're that harvesting generation. And he's sending you into Canaan. Well, you know anything about them? They went out and spied out Canaan and came back, and 10 of them gave an evil report. 2 of them gave a good report. So God had to wait. He couldn't take that bunch into Canaan because of the fear that they had, the wrong image that they had. And so what he did is waited for them to raise their children up, and then the older generation died off, and he had the children, and now he's going to take them in. And I'm telling you, you are the children. You're the ones that he raised up. I don't care how old you are. You're the children, and God is going to take you in. You've been chosen to go in and possess that land. You've been chosen for it. All right. Now, what we have to do is understand that, again, there's a temporal world, and that's a world of the senses. And Satan, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's God of the world, the world system. He's God of that world. All right? That's a sense world. So he has jurisdiction over, or he has dominion over that because he's carrying it, because he has ability to deceive people. So he can turn things and twist things in that world to make people think that they're doing the right thing or whatever have you. And that's the Bible in the scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death because it's twisted. Over here, and that's why they call it wicker, come wicker furniture, it's twisted rope, and they got that word wicker and wicked. It's wicked. He's a spirit of wickedness. All right? So over here is light. Over here is truth. And this is what Jesus came. All truth, the Bible says, is in Christ, in Jesus. And so he comes as the light of the world. He comes the light of every place. Now, in John chapter 3, he says that people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Okay? So now he comes with the light. And he comes to tell people what is right, what is true, so forth and so on. All right? So, to get them out of the place where they are. Now, turn to Romans chapter 10. And in Romans chapter 10, we talked about the whole idea of believing, to believe. Now, the Bible says that in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, I'm not going to read that. It says, I'm not going to go there. But what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed God. Now, what did he believe about God or from God? God says, I'm going to make you a father of a multitude. He said, you're going to have a child. Now, this is at the age beyond childbearing. This is at the age where Abraham and Sarah had never had children, and now Abraham is beyond childbearing. Now God says you're going to have a child. But he believes God. Got what I'm saying? Now notice this same belief is over there in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, come on, believe. Same believing now. So I'm not believing anything possible. This is for the impossible. And to take impossible out of your vocabulary. Because now I'm going to give you something that makes everything possible. Is this making sense to you? So, I got to believe. So, look what it says in Romans chapter 10 in verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, so I got to believe with my heart. Now, when he says heart, is he talking about the blood pump? No. He's talking about my spirit. the real me. So I'm going to believe with the real me what the Bible says. Now, with the natural mind, I'm find that hard to believe. Matter of fact, I say I don't believe that. Why? Because I've evaluated it based on the senses and the collection of data over the years that I've lived and what I've seen. And in my opinion, that is impossible. But if I take it in my spirit loves the Word of God. See, that's bread to my spirit. And so if I eat that, it'll produce the faith to do anything, Lord have mercy. Now, I want you to see this now, because I'm not asking you to believe this with your head, because this is too big for your head. Whatever God had told me to do, it was beyond my capacity to do it. This is me now. I want you to come to Chicago with $200 and a family. Impossible. You in Chicago with nowhere to stay at $200, but you out. And so my point to you is, I had to believe God. So here's Mary, and notice what happened, what we said about Mary. Let me just turn to that real quick. So here's Mary, and that's Luke, if you will. And that's Luke chapter, I'm going back to Matthew, pardon me, Mark chapter 11 now. But Luke chapter 1, and here's Mary, and the angel came to her and said, you're going to have a child. Mary said in verse 36, behold, thy cousin, the angel said, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived in her a son in old age, and this is a 6 month with her, who is called barren. For with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now let's go all the way down and look at verse 46. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord. Say magnify. And my spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of the handmaid, his handmaid. For, behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me what? Blessed. For he that is mighty has done me to me great things. Holy is his name. Now notice what has happened here. This has happened how Mary believed something that was impossible. Now the only thing I'm saying is they're believing with the heart. And because you got born again, you're no longer supposed to believe with the head. You got a heart to believe with. You see, let's go. Okay, let's go to 1 John chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 14. 1 John 5, 14. All right, watch this. No more feelings. Say no more feelings. No more feelings. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Ask according to his will. Where can I know the will of God? From the word. So if I don't know the word, I probably don't know his will. He heareth us. Look at the next verse. And if we know that he hear us, stop right there. If we know he hear us, how do I know he hear us? How do I know? No, whoa. Let's go back to the first verse. And this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know he hear us, how do I know he hear us? Because I ask according to his will. Where is his will? In the word. So if I go to the word and ask according to the word, I know he hears me. I don't have to feel it. Got it? I don't have to feel it, because the moment I try to feel it, I switch sides. I go over to the flesh side. Look what it says about going over to the flesh side. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. Look what it says about going over there. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You can't get it. The moment I am talked into or lured over there or tempted to go back over there or deceived back over there, prayer stops. The moment, no matter what stage I was in, it just stopped. Because you can't receive the kingdom of God. So a trick of Satan is to lure you into try to verifying what you just prayed by your senses, by somebody, or something. Let it all go. Now let me read the verse again, 1 John chapter 5. Are you following what I'm saying? What it says. And this is a confidence, another word for confidence is faith, that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, come on, he hears us. Anything, watch this, according to his will. Let's say it like this way, according to life and godliness. Because I can ask for it. I can say, hey, Lord, I would like a 1982 rusted out Nova. Got it? I'll get it. Or I can ask for a 2014 Phantom Rolls Royce. Doesn't make any difference with God. Don't think you just tripped God out. Don't think you tripped him out. Don't think, well, I'm not going to give you that. That, if he doesn't do it, he didn't keep his word.
Amen.
I'm going to help you. See, we have been talked out of stuff. I'm telling you, I'm going to lift this race of people up. We've been talked out of stuff because we have been programmed with words from songs that we have sung in them old churches.
Yes.
Y'all know what I mean when I said church?
Yes.
I can't hardly pronounce that. We had a song that we used to sing down in Alabama when I was a kid and mom and dad went to church and took us. It was called Please Don't Pass Me By. It started this way. Now, when you hear this, after I've said it, forget it. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Now, I'm not making fun now. Don't you get mad at me because I'm trying to teach you something. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior. Now, I want you to see something. First of all, Matthew 28, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. Didn't he say that? If I sing that, I'm calling him a liar. I'm going to help you. He just told, either I'm lying or the book is lying. Because he just told me he's not going to ever leave me. Why would I sing that? But my point to you is, I'm talking to these folk who've been now raised up and ready to stop living below their privileges. That's who I'm talking to. Hear my humble cry. Now, wait a minute. Now, I'm humble. I'm crying. But he said this. He said, for me to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, this is what he said. Now, I want to let you know that I'm not coming down or thank God for my parents and so forth. But no wonder they fought on Mondays after Sunday church. Wasn't no truth in it. Say amen here. See, if you've been in this stuff and you've been going to church and you've been on the road to Mississippi for 40 years and ain't got there yet, you still living at the level you've been living at, you still scared, you still lying, you still and so forth, then something is wrong with either the road or the something, the church or something. Something's wrong with something. I'm trying to wipe it all out. I'm giving you some stuff now. I know it's hard to bear. Cards out there. Suppose he flips a switch right now and every credit card goes to zero. I mean, when I say that, it cuts off. You can't even use it. You can't use it. It's gone. Now what you going to do? I just came from two places. We came from Zimbabwe and Congo. All right? Both of them on a cash economy. Now, hey, you don't write checks over there. Check? What's a check? It's cash. And I'm just saying, if some people can't float checks, they can't live. You know, float means, you know, I'm going to get paid on Friday, so I'm going to write this check on Wednesday and hope that it don't get to the bank before the check on Friday. You know, that is not a way to live, saints. So my point to you is that there's a system out here, and Jesus was teaching his people how to go around that system. You don't need that system. Matter of fact, over in John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6, and starting at verse 5, let's look at that. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him, and he said to Philip, where can we buy bread that these may eat? All right? And he's got about 5,000 plus men plus women and children to feed. And this he said to prove him. Prove means a test. He's trying to see if you understood what I'm teaching. For he himself knew what he would do. So now it's time to exercise your faith. You've been hearing the word of God. Now what about your faith? And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Let's better understand that by putting up the NIV, the New International Version, and just see what it says. And Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have just a bite. Now, notice what he did. Right away, he attached what Jesus was requesting with how long he would have to work a job and get some money and pay for what he needed to have paid for. Say amen to that. But notice, Jesus came to take you above the system. He came to show you how to get your needs met independent of whether anybody in that system is eating. You follow what I'm saying? No matter what that system does, God's going to provide for you. It doesn't make any difference what's going on in that system. So he showed him how to go around the system. Look what he said in Psalm 37 and verse 19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, God's people are going to have more than enough. It doesn't make any difference what the condition of the weather is. It doesn't make any difference what the economy is experiencing. It doesn't make any difference. You are in this world, but not of this world. So when God sends you in that world, don't be trying to live on that world. In other words, he's not going to have you to depend on that world because you can't transform a world you're dependent on. My point to you is, it's a time for the saints of God to really lift up and let people see that there's a God in their lives that can support them beyond what this world is experiencing. And when they start seeing that, now they're going to want to know about your God. What we've been trying to do is preach to them broke. Just as broke as them, just as sick as them, going through just as many marriage problems as them, and then trying to convert them. Now, what sense does that make? My point to you is, that's supposed to be a difference. He said, let your light so shine in Matthew chapter 5 be, among men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father. The greatest way of leading people is through influence. They need to see something in your life. When Jesus worked that miracle in Peter's life, the next thing Peter did is said, hey, I'm leaving all this boat right here. I'm following you. That's the greatest way to get somebody to lead somebody is through influence. You don't have to coast them. You don't have to beg them. You don't have to beat them over the head with the Bible. Just show them something. And they want to know your God. Pharaoh did not want to know Joseph's God until Joseph told Pharaoh what the deal was. Once Joseph told Pharaoh what Pharaoh, the wisdom of God came out of Joseph, Pharaoh said, how is your father doing? They're going to want to know how your father's doing when you show them something. Praise God. Are y'all with me? So let's look at that. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Now this is him going over to the other side. He said, the same day when evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship till it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and they said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And let me put it in my own words. Don't you care we're about to die? Now this is Jesus been feeding them all this time, taking care of their families. I'm talking about protecting them, everything else. And now they accuse him that he's trying to kill them. And he arose and rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great, what? Calm. And look what he said next. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have what? No what? Faith. So what does it take to get to the other side? Faith. How does faith work? It works by love. You can't jump up talking about people and jump up and expect your faith to work. And I'm telling you right now, what God is going to do with you is he's going to take you to the top. Now, why is he going to take you to the top? Because the top, whoever is on the top of the mountain controls what's in the mountain. Whoever is going on top of the mountain without compromise is the only one capable of shifting the climate at the top of the mountain. So you've got to shift your climate. What's the climate? The climate for families is that somehow this new culture has all of a sudden redefined the family. Now it's not Adam and Eve anymore. Let me go over here. And shifting the culture. How about education? Somehow, who's ever at the top of the mountain has said, let's take Bibles out of schools. Amen. Come on now. I'm talking about you are being raised up to go to the top and shift the culture back to the kingdom of God. And you can do it. And folks, if I can raise up one of you, just one, just one, you will affect millions of lives. And just one can do it. Somebody said, well, just one. Jesus did it. He was just one. Jesus went to hell and shifted the authority back into the hands of mankind. It's one man. Now you say, well, that is Jesus. Jesus was not operating as God. I got good news for you. He was operating as a man. Look what he said in John chapter 14, verse 10. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. What does he do? Who's doing the work? The Father is doing the work. Now, what is Jesus doing? He's following the Father's commands. He's following the Father's command. Now, I'm going to come back to the scripture in just a minute, so put something right there. But I'm going to give you John chapter 14, verse 21. Just look at verse 21. And look what he says here, because he's following the Father's command. He said in verse 21, he that has my commandments and keeps them, it's he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my who? Father. And I'll love him. And what will I do? I'm going to manifest to him. Now, notice what Jesus did. He went exactly where the Father said go. Watch this. And said exactly what the Father said say. Isn't that powerful? That he was saying nothing but what he heard. That's powerful stuff right there, folks. Well, if you can say what God said, God's got to back it up. One man. You can look at it on the other side. Look at Hitler. Hitler was about to take over the earth. I don't know whether you know that or not. It's the devil raising up one man.
Come on.
Look at one woman. Esther. Esther shifted the climate. Esther caused a whole nation to be saved. One woman. If I can raise up one of you. Now I got to raise you up without compromise. Now you can't be raised up there dealing drugs. You can't be raised up there fornicating everybody. You can't be. I'm gonna just say what I need to say. You can't be raised up. See, you can't go. Now what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to encourage you that I understand that you're human, you're this and so forth. But the Bible says a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up again. See, you might have missed it. Get back up. Praise God. He's going to work with you again. But get it worked out. Then the just shall live how?
By his faith.
Faith demands that God not only be your source, but come on, help me, but your only source. Doesn't make any difference. The devil brings two things to you. He brings symptoms and suggestions at the same time. I remember, a man cannot serve what? Two masters. He'll either hate one, love the other, hold to the one, despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. So you can go around Satan's system. Say, I can go around Satan's system. You can get your needs met independent of what Satan thinks about it and so forth. Remember, you can't depend on his system and change his system. You can't do it. If you depend on his system, you are under his system's control. But if you're depending on God, then God will have you to change that system. Amen and amen. All right, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, he's having Abraham there to depart his comfort zone. And sometimes God will do that to you and have you depart your comfort zone. Now, listen, I don't care how many times you come to church. How many times you sing songs and kick over the church benches. As long as you don't go out there and use your faith. The enemy is just as satisfied to you coming in here. Matter of fact, he probably comes with a lot of people. But the fact of it is, he knows that you're no danger to him unless you're trying to move ahead and using your faith. Say amen to that. So faith is the only way that you can stop the devil from stopping you. Faith is the only way that you can stop the enemy from stopping you. And believe me, if you're trying to transform a place at work or whatever have you, that enemy is trying to get you out. So you have to have long suffering and understand that Satan is not the one that the people are not the one that promote you. God is going to promote you. All you have to do is be faithful to God. Do things that God says and he will promote you. No demon could stop Jesus and no devil can stop you. Say amen to that. Isn't this good stuff? All right. So they're going to the other side. So I gave you a scripture just now. Oh, Genesis. So here's Abraham. He's taking Abraham off the system. Now, when God is raising you up, don't try to get everybody to like you, because that can draw you into something. It'll draw you into compromise sometimes. Sometimes, you know, you won't say what needs to be said, do what needs to be done, and so forth. But realize that God is doing this. Now, with Abraham here in this verse, he's separating him from his family. And sometimes family members and so forth, you know, you got to put them in another category. Now, I'm not saying hate on anybody. I'm just saying that sometimes that is where people's weakness is that family. And Jesus dealt with that. They said, your mother and your brother said, come out of here and stop preaching that.
He said, who are my mothers and who are my brothers? He went into a whole different bag, you know. And I'm saying, I've had to do that. I had to say, wait, whoa, hold now. I got to do what I got to do. Let me just give you a word of advice. Wherever you're divinely positioned, you're divinely protected. So when God puts you somewhere, he protects you right there. So all you got to do is stay on the love line. Say, stay on the love line. All right. Now, also, remember, the enemy comes with symptoms. And what else did I say? Suggestions. Say symptoms and suggestions. He'll try to hit you with them at the same time. Look what he says here in Genesis chapter 37. In Genesis chapter 37, let's start at verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. Now notice what happened. Joseph is still alive, but they're going to fool the father. So now they dip it. Now this is coming against Joseph. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this we have found. Now know whether it be my son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast had devoured him. Joseph is without doubt what? Rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. Then all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down unto the grave and to my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now, symptom, suggestion. Nothing was wrong with Joseph other than some haters. They couldn't kill him because he's divinely positioned. He's got a call from God, and God's going to use him to shift a mountain. Now, he's got to stay in love and got to stay in faith. Now, what happened to the father here? The father saw that, and notice, after the father saw that, it affected his thoughts. And what I ask the people in the first session is, what's more important, thoughts or words? Words, okay. He said words. All right. Now, wait a minute. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 32. I'm going to go whip through these real quick. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay your hand on your mouth. So notice where the enemy is coming now first. He's coming to your mind because he wants to make suggestions. It's not something he wants you, glory to God. He only suggests to Eve. Did God really say? That's all he's doing. Suggestion. You know you got cancer. You know. I'm talking about suggestion now. Y'all got quiet when I said that. Say I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And I'm well in Jesus' name. My point to you is he uses things to try to bring suggestions and thought, because he knows that once the thoughts come and they're strong enough, what's going to happen? You're going to say something, and what you say and believe will be delivered to you. And so what you got to do is understand what God said. Look at Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Praise God. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. Now notice what God is saying. Hey, whoa. You're picking up somebody else's thoughts here. Those are not my thoughts. My thoughts are different from that. My thoughts are not that you're going to come down with some disease. My thoughts are not that you're not going to have enough money. My thoughts are not going to be that, you know, so forth and so on. Those are not my thoughts. You got to get my thoughts. Because if you can get my thoughts and say my words, I can deliver to you what I want to deliver you. Look what he said in Proverbs chapter 23, please. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, he said, for as a man thinketh in his heart, come on, so is he. Meaning that whatever you think, you become. So you got to watch what you think. Because you got a devil out there, when you're rising, he's going to try to make a suggestion to you. And his suggestion, if you buy it and speak it, it, the next thing is going to manifest. That's just the way you are made. You are made to create with your thoughts. And so you got to watch that thought life. They are very important. Why? Because words proceed from thoughts. So you got to get your thoughts right. Look at Job, please. And Job chapter 6, glory to God. Then look at Job chapter 6, verse 23. Oh, deliver me from thy enemy's hand and redeem me from the hand of the mighty. Next verse. Teach me, and what'll I do? I'll hold my tongue. And show me where I have what? Erred. But look where he started what thinking that. In Job chapter 1 and verse 5, he said this. And it was so, when the days of the feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings, according to the number of them. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This did Job what? Continually. Now, notice what Job was doing. He was having thoughts about his kids running out, acting crazy, and so forth, and he start thinking about that to the point that it start affecting his mind and whether God was going to keep blessing him. And the next thing you know, things start coming out of his mouth, and they start coming out of his mouth, and the next thing you know, the devil's moving in, and he's moving in and getting permission, glory to God, to get into Job's life. Job had talked down the fence that God had placed around him. He had talked down the blessing that God had on his life. And the next thing you know, the devil had an inroad to him. I'm just saying, a lot of times people put it on God. It's not God at all. It's your thought life. You got to stop thinking that. You got to stop thinking he doesn't like me. You got to stop thinking. Come on, get them negative thoughts out of your mind. Manage your mind. Manage your mind. Don't let yourself. The enemy tries to bombard you with thoughts. He came in. If you look in the Greek, a Greek scholar told me that when that boat was going to the other side, what happened is it said waves beat into the ship. It says when it said that, it meant that the devil's thoughts beat on their minds. They kept beating on their mind. And you know yourself, you can't hardly go to sleep because he's beating on your mind. Say amen to that. But the Bible says resist the devil. I'm talking about get the word now. Get the word on it. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What do you resist him with? It says draw nigh to God. Resist the devil. So I'm going to get this Bible. I'm going to open it up because I'm about to put the devil on the end of this sword. And he got to get up off my mind because say amen to that. Oh, Lord Jesus. Said, you're going to the top. You're going to the top. Folks, the enemy, if he can use sickness, if he can use disease, if he can use a bank account, if he can get into it, but he cannot get into anything that's shielded by faith. Glory to God. There was nothing wrong with Joseph. Joseph was in good shape, but his dad thought he had what? He had died. Why? Because he got a symptom and a suggestion. I'm saying, even if some professional tells you, you never let that come out of your mouth. The only thing we're going to depend on is the word of God. Put it up there. Romans chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. He said, God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man be a liar. Let me tell you, when God says you are healed, you are healed. When God says you are rich, you are rich. When God says you got the victory, you got the victory. When he